and welcome to another On the Hoof podcast for Vets in Practice. I'm Alison Braddock, your host for this podcast, and I work for SRUC Veterinary Services as Marketing and Business Development Manager. And I'm delighted to be talking with Heather Stevenson, VIO from Dumfries, about Nematodirus. Hello, Heather, and welcome.
Hi, Alison. Thanks for the invitation to talk today.
Oh, well, good to hear you. So I appreciate this podcast is aimed at vets in practice, but let's get back to basics. I mean, would you be able to give us an overview of Nematodirus, Heather?
So Nematodirus is a parasitic worm that is found in the small intestines of lambs. Mm-hmm. And it is a problem in particular for lambs between the ages of 6 and 12 weeks of age, which means that it's sort of this time of year that we tend to start thinking about it. The eggs hatch in response to increasing temperatures, so depending where you are in the country while you're listening to this, the risk period might be earlier and could even be past this year. If you're in Scotland, then we tend to see cases starting in May. They tend to peak in June, and then there's always a few in July as well.
That's interesting, Heather. So what are the clinical signs?
The worms cause a severe enteritis, and you tend to get clinical signs round about 10 to 14 days after large numbers of the infectious larvae have been ingested by the lambs. And you may find that the first thing that raises alarm bells is one or more lambs found dead. There may be others with signs of diarrhea. They can look empty. They may appear thirsty as well.
So, Heather, how would you actually diagnose Nematodirus on your client's farm?
The key thing to remember with Nematodirus that clinical signs and even deaths can occur before any eggs can be detected in the faeces. In other words, you can get diarrhea and deaths within the pre-patent period of the worm. The pre-patent period for Nematodirus is around about 15 days. So they ingest the infectious larvae, and 15 days later, you would be able to detect Nematodirus eggs in a faecal sample. Nematodirus eggs can be distinguished from other parasitic eggs in faecal samples because of their distinctive large size with parallel sides. But because you can get clinical signs before the eggs can be detected, it means that monitoring faecal samples is not terribly useful in predicting Nematodirus outbreaks. It does mean that thinking about post-mortem examinations can be very important. The worms in animals that have died of Nematodirus, there can be tens of thousands of them, and the most likely place to find them at post-mortem is in the sort of distal small intestine, distal jejunum into the ileum. And the worms themselves are fairly large, sort of 1 to 2 centimetres in length, and when there's large numbers, they clump together and form sort of what's usually described as cotton wool type clumps, which you can see. If you're not certain, you can put the intestinal contents through a sieve and the worms will be collected on the surface of the sieve.
So, Heather, you've explained the importance of doing post-mortems. So once the disease has actually been diagnosed, what advice would you give the farm client to treat their disease?
Post the advice based on the current available best knowledge is that benzimidazole drenches are still suitable in almost all cases for treating outbreaks of nematodiris. There are a couple of caveats to that. Anthelmintic resistance to benzimidazoles in nematodiris worms has been described, but is believed to be at fairly low levels. The other thing to be aware of is when you have a mixed parasite burden. So if you have nematodiris worms, but you also have infection with Tiller Drosaggia worms, then a lot of farms will have Tiller Drosaggia worms that are resistant to benzimidazoles. So although we've just said that worm egg counts are not necessarily the most important thing when it comes to diagnosing or monitoring for nematodiris eggs, they are useful for picking up concurrent infection with other parasites, so Tiller Drosaggia being one. The other parasite that you might pick up that will make outbreaks more severe would be concurrent infection with coccidiosis. So the risk periods for outbreaks of coccidiosis in lambs is 4 to 8 weeks of age, and that obviously overlaps with the age of lambs that tend to get clinical disease with nematodiris. So if you're worried that treatment hasn't worked, then a couple of things to consider. Is there concurrent infection with Tiller Drosaggia that are resistant to the benzimidazoles? Is there concurrent infection with coccidiosis, in which case obviously you have to go down a different treatment route? Or potentially, has the benzimidazoles not worked because you have nematodiris worms that are resistant to them? Because of the shorter pre-patent period, if you want to check treatment efficacy, you have to go in a little bit earlier than you perhaps otherwise would and collect post-treatment samples after about 7 days.
Wow, that's fascinating, Heather. So what tips do you have to help prevent and control the disease in the flock?
There are a couple of things that are useful to be checking at this time of year. The first thing you can do is you can look up the SCOPS nematodiris forecast online. This forecast is based on temperature data from 140 weather stations across the UK, and it's the temperature is used to try and predict the hatch date. So nematodiris have a slightly different life cycle to other worm species in that after the lambs pass eggs in their faeces, the larvae develop inside the egg and they don't actually hatch until the following spring in most cases. So nematodiris eggs that were passed by lambs in spring 2023 will be the ones that are now hatching in spring 2024. And they are quite fussy about their hatching. And what happens is that what you need is a cumulative period of 7 days where the temperature is above 11 degrees C. And then if it tips higher above 17 degrees C, that's too hot for them and they will stop hatching. Once they start to hatch, then it usually takes about 8 to 10 days to complete the hatch. And the good thing is with nematodiris is, unlike other worm species, the larvae, once they're on the grass, they don't survive for all that long, and numbers will reduce quite quickly within a month or two. So this is what the nematodiris forecast is based on. And if you look at it, you'll see that the map has 140 dots representing the different weather stations, and those are given different colours depending on the risk. So at the moment, a lot of Scotland is low risk, represented by yellow dots. As the risk increases, the dots will change colour from yellow to orange to red to black. And then the risk will drop off again as the larvae die off. It is just a guide. Local knowledge is important. The hatch will be affected by altitude. So if it's higher ground, that will delay the hatch. It will also be delayed if the field is north facing as opposed to south facing. So there's lots of things that you need to take into account, but it's still well worth having a look at it. Other risk factors, we've discussed the age of lamb, the possibility of concurrent disease. The other thing to think about is, was there an issue with nematodiris in that particular field last year? Because if there was, there's likely to be high numbers of eggs, and you'd be best to avoid that field this time round when the lambs are in that high age category. The eggs will actually survive for a couple of years. So if you've got ground that's grazed by 6 to 12 week old lambs in May and June time over the last couple of years, then there could be a build-up of eggs. Because of this difference in hatching times, some years a higher risk for nematodiris than others. If we get warm weather early on, then the hatch will have happened before the main crop of lambs are eating large amounts of grass, and you tend to get less disease in those situations. When you get a year like this, where the spring is quite long and quite cold, then there's a danger that the hatch, you might get a mass hatch of nematodiris eggs just at that point where the young lambs are starting to ingest significant amounts of grass. That means they may also take in large numbers of nematodiris larvae, and disease outbreaks might occur as a result of that.
Thank you, Heather. That's really useful information. I mean, just going back to basics, what does SCOPS stand for, and what areas of the country does it cover again?
SCOPS stands for Sustainable Control of Parasites in Sheep. Uh-huh. And the nematodiris forecast covers the whole of the UK.
Which is great. So even in Somerset, where I'm based.
Yes, but as I say, for some areas in the south of England, the main risk period
will have been and gone.
They have passed. The other thing I should have mentioned is, if you do have an outbreak of nematodiris, then you may have no choice but to move fields. If you're unable to move fields, then you may have to treat them twice, sort of 10 to 14 days apart. Uh-huh.
So, Heather, I mean, we've obviously mentioned SCOPS. So where can you get further information about nematodiris? Because, I mean, we can put links on the write-up for the podcast to various things like blogs, and obviously the link to SCOPS. Is there anything else that you can think of information sources for vets in practice?
We will always put out and on the hoof email after we diagnose the first case of nematodiris. And it would also be useful if vets in practice, if they're seeing nematodiris in our areas, then they also let us know. The only other thing that's maybe worthy of mention is that we've focused very much on disease risk in late spring, early summer, which is the most important time to focus on it. You do get cases of nematodiris at a much lower level sometimes in the autumn. So just bearing that in mind, if you do have to investigate any outbreaks of diarrhoea or deaths in lambs at that time of year.
That's great, Heather. Thank you very much. That's given us a really concise, clear overview of Nematodirus and basically how to cope with it. And just to let people know that further episodes of our podcasts are available on our platform and various other platforms. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you again to Heather for sharing your knowledge with our Vets in Practice. Thank you.